7:44. It is Wednesday. It means another Regina Farmers Market downtown. Hopefully the smoke doesn't impact it too much. This morning we're hearing from Executive Director Holly Laird as the market marks a milestone. Morning, Holly. Nice to chat with you again. How you been?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Kevin?
I'm fantastic. Thank you. Summer is almost here. And for you guys, 50 years, Holly. That is incredible.
Isn't that amazing? 50 years. Such a great milestone to celebrate with the community.
Yeah. So any special events, any more vendors? What are you guys doing to mark this half century?
Yeah, we had a big party to kick off our season, and it was just awesome to see so many people come out and to celebrate with us. We had a few extra vendors that day. It was great, but we're going to keep the fun going through our whole season this year, especially leading up to our Tomato Festival, which is happening August 2nd at the Legislative Building.
So what else is new to the market this year? Maybe people haven't been for a few years. Maybe they haven't quite gone this year yet. What can they expect this year?
Well, we've got all of your favorite farmers market staples, everything from the fresh produce that comes in seasonally. We're getting close here to fresh pea season, which is always exciting, and then followed quickly with Saskatoon berry season after that, and it just goes from there. So you can expect all those things for sure. Other staples, honey, locally raised meats, farm fresh eggs, everybody's favorite baking and treats. And every season we get new vendors that come in. So there's always something new and interesting to find.
I wonder what a price of a dozen eggs would have been 50 years ago at this market. Can we still pay those prices now?
I'm thinking the prices may have gone up a little bit in 50 years. But
there is a lot of construction work right now. Wednesdays at the farmer's market. You are still downtown, correct?
That's right. Yes, we set up Wednesdays from 9 to 1. We're mainly on the 1900 block of Scarf Street facing into Victoria Park. And then the food trucks usually set up on Pat Siako Plaza during the construction. So that's where you'll find us Wednesdays all the way through until Thanksgiving.
And so how has it been? I know we're still pretty early into the season, but because of the construction going on kind of all around you, are you still finding that people are, in fact, finding their way to you still?
You know what? We are so fortunate to have our sort of core loyal group of customers that they just find us and they follow us where we go. And we're so grateful for them. So yes, people are coming out. Honestly, Wednesdays have been a little bit slower the last few years, post COVID and with all the construction. So we'd love for even more people to come out and find us on Wednesdays. That would be great to really help those vendors that make it out there.
Joined this morning by Holly Laird of the Farmers Market here in the city. Has the current state of the economy, Holly, tariffs and all, of course, the big talker, have those had any impact on your market in any way that's perhaps obvious to you or maybe to the people who come to the market?
I would say it definitely has. We had a very, very busy indoor market season from January to April, likely our busiest one we've ever had for multiple reasons. But I think the discussions around shopping local have definitely impacted us in a positive way. I've heard the discussions with vendors, customers, it's on people's minds. So we're excited. I mean, there's lots of not great things happening as a result of the tariffs, but a renewed interest in shopping local is really exciting for us. We're the only authentic farmers market in Regina. And so what that means is that everything at our market is made, baked, grown, or designed here in Saskatchewan. Most of it comes from within 50 kilometers of the market location. And we're just talking about freshness and local to the max.
And Holly, is the market working on anything else at the moment? Are you working on anything, anything in development, something new that you can probably get in trouble and share with us early on?
Well, we do have some pretty big strategic plans, and ultimately we would like to find a spot where we can be permanently and not have to move around so much and put down a bit more roots. So we've got some plans in development for that with our board of directors, and we've got a strategic advisory board tasked with the project. So hopefully we'll have some big plans coming in the next bit about that.
Appreciate your time as always, Holly.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for the call.
Holly Laird of the Regina Farmers Market.
On your Wednesday morning.
Should be lots of interest in this one. A new documentary on the Titan submersible tragedy hits Netflix today.
Stockton saw an opportunity to restart tourist visits to Titanic.
Stockton fully believed in what he was doing and that it would work.
He wanted fame. To fuel his ego, fame.
I have no desire to die.
Andrew Shepherd, it is called Titan, the Ocean Gate Disaster.
Very interested in this. What a wild story.
Yeah, big news. It was only 2 years ago that this sub disappeared. And for those couple days, the world wondered what happened to it. And then they found pieces of it on the ocean floor. And it was determined the five people on board, including the founder of OceanGate, this Stockton guy that you were hearing about, Stockton Rush. He was kind of leading the charge. And so a big part of this documentary is about him.
But and we've learned since that, you know, this wasn't really a good design at all for a submersible. I think it was the first time using carbon fiber for that. I don't know what submersibles, how they're designed, but the end is you're literally bolted in. There's no door that you can freely open when you're inside. So when you go in, you have to four bolts bolt you in. So even just that idea of going into that is kind of freaky to me.
Yeah, don't if you're claustrophobic, no.
Yeah, it's and then you go way down to the Titanic, and I mean, there's investigation still underway into, you know, is there anyone at fault? It sounds like Stockton Rush was, you know, the main fault here on how he kind of pushed this too far and shouldn't have done this. But is there anyone else at fault is still up in the air.
Back on surface level and here in Regina this morning, we're waking up, Andrew, once again under this air quality warning.
Yeah, smoke's lingering. It should start to improve tonight into tomorrow. We spoke with Environment Canada saying there's just not much wind today. The atmosphere is just kind of holding still, so it's not going anywhere. The riders canceled their practice yesterday. May cancel it today. It's at an 8 out of a 10 right now on the air quality index scale.
Yeah, so the riders had to move their outdoor practice inside into the Affinity Plex, but certainly, yeah. And I mean, a lot of kids' activities last night canceled because, well, for them, they have nowhere to move. If they're outside playing soccer, I mean, you only have so many facilities. So certainly something that a lot of parents will be keeping an eye on. 8 right now, but Environment Canada, says it could go to 10 plus. Wildfires, surprisingly, this smoke is coming from a northern BC and northern Alberta, not actually from our northern wildfires. Nevertheless, it's still big news today, and we're hearing that evacuees may not be getting the support they need.
Yeah, there's been some complaints, and even the provincial ombudsman is speaking out, saying she's gotten complaints that they're not getting access to basic needs on time, including financial aid. Some people are sleeping in their cars. So the province says staff's being added to the Public Safety Agency's 855 phone line, and the premier is expected to speak this morning at 10 o'clock, so we will be carrying that live on 980 CJME, in addition to the regular wildfire update, which will come at 1:30, which we will also have live for you.
Thank you very much, 980 CJME's Andrew Shepherd with us this morning. He's back in just a couple minutes. And don't forget, tomorrow, Rawalco Radio will be holding a Saskatchewan Day of Caring to help those impacted by the destructive wildfires up north from 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening. All 6 of our Rawalco radio stations in this province will be accepting donations, which will go to the Red Cross so we can help those families and individuals affected by wildfires. We'll be bringing you stories all day tomorrow, hearing from all kinds of people involved in battling the wildfires, escaping from the wildfires, those in communities trying to protect against the wildfires. We're hearing from mayors and as well ways that you can help. Remember, the feds will match every dollar you give, and you can actually donate right now at cjme.com. We have a link up to the Red Cross. Seven 14 on your Wednesday morning, another smoky morning as we wake up. Right now, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are busy preparing for Hamilton this Saturday. Joined on the line right now by the Green Zone rider reporter, Britton Gray. Morning, Britton.
Good morning.
So smoke just had an impact on the riders, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Their quality was at an 8, and when it's at an 8 or above there, that means they can't practice outside. That's what the CFLPA, so they have to move practice indoors, and that does affect the riders. They can't really run a full practice indoors. You can't do everything you want. It turns into a little bit more of a walkthrough inside, so unfortunately, that's just kind of how it was.
Injury report, did we get any new information about any of the players hurt? Any idea of when guys will be back, if any are suiting up this week?
Yeah, so there was some good news. We'll start with the good news there. Roland Milligan Jr., AJ Ouellette, both out practicing. Now, it said they were limited, but they did quite a bit to be considered limited. So I do think that they will both end up playing. Jacob Brammer, the starting offensive lineman who hurt his back last week, he was back out there again. So I expect them to kind of, all three of them to play. The bad news, though, unfortunately, Kean Schaefer-Baker wasn't out there, and that's going to be a big loss for this offense. And then Peyton Collins, the offensive lineman who came in for Brammer, he got hurt. He doesn't appear to be as serious. And then linebacker C.J. Avery, something to do with his bicep. He wasn't a sling. Already put onto the six-game injured list, so a big loss there as the Riders have to kind of do some shuffling on the defense now.
Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray on the line with us this morning. From what you can tell, Britton, or from perhaps what the team was saying yesterday, do they feel confident against Hamilton despite these injuries?
Yeah, I think so. Listen, this team has a next man up mentality, and that was perfectly shown last season with all the injuries to the offensive line, right? This is a team that dealt with adversity last year. It's pretty much the exact same team brought back. They feel like they can handle whatever gets tossed their way, and I think this is a confident team heading over to Hamilton.
You just talked to the newest signing for the Riders, Kadeem Carey. What's he saying?
Yeah, he's excited to be here. Saskatchewan was the number one place he wanted to be, so much so that he accepted a practice roster spot. Right now, he's just on the practice roster, which is saying something. He was a CFL East All-Star last season, right? We know how good Kadeem Carey can be, but it's Corey Mace said he understands his role here. He understands that it's all a part of a process to get to this team to where it wants to be, which is the Grey Cup at the end of the season. And I do think at some point, maybe not this week, at some point, Kadeem Carey will be on this roster just because the running back position, you take so much beatings over the course of the year, right? You take so much hits. It's tough to play a full season. Eventually, he will get in there. It will just a matter of how quickly it will be.
Thanks for doing this, Britton.
Not a problem.
980 CJME and the Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray joining us this morning, and we'll continue to keep an eye on the air quality. The health index, right now it's at an 8, and as you just heard Britton say there, anything at an 8 or above, the Riders will move their practice indoors. So we'll keep an eye on that for you throughout the day. And as you heard as well, Britton say, you can't do everything that you want to do as a team when you practice indoors. Some things are limited, and you're going up against what could be a good Hamilton team this year. You don't want to not be able to practice everything you can. It might hurt you come game time.
There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
7:23 on your Wednesday morning. You might step outside this morning and go... It is another smoky day out there. Evan Bray is joining me. Is that what you did when you...
That was a really good effect. You had me believing it was actually smoky in the control room here.
I could smell it a little bit.
You know, I said this morning, and I said it last night to a couple of my buddies because they were complaining. One of the guys I was talking to, his daughter had a ball practice canceled because of the smoke. Yeah. We know the Riders practiced indoors yesterday. I said, look, in the grand scheme of things, I get it. The smoke's not fun, but... We have people who have lost their homes. We have people who have lost cabins and property. And yeah, I mean, I just feel like we can't complain.
I always imagine like, you know, so we always got to kind of get it secondhand, right? It's always blowing in from, you know, far away
from
Alberta.
Us. Yeah.
Yeah. And I always wonder, like, when you're right there, like right on the front line battling the fire, what's it like there? And that's what I can't imagine for some of these crews that are battling.
There's been some incredibly compelling videos. Some of these guys, a guy who is a truck driver driving supplies into the firefighters on the front line, basically through the billowing smoke, flames rushing up against the side of the road, and I'm just watching the video that he's putting on Facebook. It's crazy. Like, you can't imagine. And even just the heat, they talk about how intense that heat is on the highway. You can feel it in your vehicle.
The provincial ombudsman, she spoke to the wildfires yesterday, a new report, and she's kind of tackling evacuees from what her office has heard, not getting the support they need.
Well, I know she talked yesterday about the fact that her office was inundated with calls from evacuees or groups supporting evacuees saying, we're not getting anyone to pick up the line when we call the emergency line. We're not getting swift access to the things that we need. So what Sharon Pratchler, who's the provincial ombudsman, has done is saying, we are doing a full deep dive investigation, but in a bit of an unprecedented move, before the investigation's done, she's come out with a bunch of recommendations for the province. So Sharon Pratchler will join me at 8:30 this morning, the provincial ombudsman, and we'll talk about why she felt this was a necessary move.
Yeah, and we've been hearing in the news that, in some cases, there's one evacuee that went to Manitoba, and they were kind of kicked out because I guess the system couldn't track them. I'm not sure exactly the deeper reasoning there, but it's certainly some holes that are being that are coming up through this. And by the way, the premier will speak more to this today. We'll be carrying him live for you at 10 this morning, and then of course our normal wildfire update at 1:30 this afternoon. Also on the show today, switching gears a little bit, we're going to be talking a little bit about baseball at Regina Red Sox. You have President Gary Brotzel coming on.
Yeah, Gary Brotzel is coming on because they are doing a special game tonight. If you think about the history of baseball in Saskatchewan, there was a team back in the 50s called the Indian Head Rockets. It was made up of a bunch of African American baseball players that would come up here, play in this league in the summertime. They're celebrating their 75th anniversary, and they're actually bringing in two of the original players.
Wow.
They're in town today. They're going to be at the Saskatchewan Sports Hall of Fame, and then they'll be at the game tonight, the Red Sox game, which is a special tribute. So I've got Gary Brotzel, president of the Red Sox, talking about it. But I'm doing a bit of a deep dive on this, and I look at some old pictures from Indian Head in the 1950s, and there's pictures of some executives who were actually from the town of Indian Head, and one of them was a fella by the name of Dick Jewett. And I'm thinking, well, my high school teacher, Don Jewett, is from Indian Head. So I text him. I said, hey, Don, are you related to Dick? He's, yeah, it's my dad. I said, your dad was on the exam? Yeah. And so he tells me some stories. His dad actually named the Rockets. So Don Jewett is going to join me today at noon as well with Gary Brotzel. So it'll be a good conversation.
It's
for sure.
Saskatchewan, right?
Saskatchewan,
everybody knows everybody here. Evan Bray is back just after the 8:30 news.